to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Are there notes out back there? They're on. Oh, you have? Okay, thank you very much for doing that. We're going to talk about patience tonight. This morning we talked about self-control. Self-control, of course, is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And this morning we looked at it basically being a mastery over my passions, desires, and sensual appetites. A mastery over them through the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, the strength of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we want to look at patience. Patience. Patience really is primarily pointing toward people. Self-control is my mastery over. Patience is my attitude toward people. Now, the only reason I'm doing this tonight is because I need this. None of you do, I'm sure of that. So if you would just be patient with me tonight, I'd like to look at this term patience. Though it's not referenced as a fruit of the Spirit necessarily, it is part of the Christian life. It's something that you and I need. The Greek means to abide under. The term, however, means to cheerfully abide under. It's not like, oh, all right, I'll take it as long as I possibly can. The term is to cheerfully abide under. It has to do with endurance as to things or circumstances. It's closely associated with hope and refers to the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It's really a restraining from the exercise of power. I have the ability to do something, and yet I don't do it. I back off. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we have the word used. The Apostle Paul is using this word, patience. And he says in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, look with me please at 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why was that? Because the Thessalonican church was coming under great tribulation, great trouble. And yet they were patient. They took it patiently, the testing of their faith. They were patient people, and they did it cheerfully when you look at this section of the scriptures. Very interesting. Now, we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at the Hebrew as well, pertaining to patience. And the word, the Hebrew word, is a very interesting word. It's often translated as long-suffering, and it means long in the nostrils. It's kind of interesting. Doesn't mean a big proboscis. That's not the reference here. But it means long in the nostrils. The term has to do with heavy or violent breathing. I have a relative, it's not Nance, but I have a relative, and every once in a while we have to deal with a family situation, and I will call this relative, and he starts off very calm, but by the end of the conversation, I can hear him in the phone. he crescendos, and he loses it, and he often calls, I'm going to stroke out of this life, and all this stuff. Well, patience is not breathing hard. Patience is taking it patiently. The patient take a deep breath. They don't struggle for breath under situation. They're prepared for the situation ahead of them. Now, patience is not a common practice in our fallen nature. It's just not part of our fallen nature. Let's look at that in Hebrews chapter 12, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 12. And again, I must say, particularly in our day, patience is at a premium. And the reason it is because we are running at a breakneck speed. Now, I've been driving an automobile before I was supposed to be driving. But I have never in these last days seen such road rage. Have you? I mean, it is incredible. I know it was always there. I know, I understand that there was road rage when I was a kid, but nothing to the extreme there is today. People are running at a breakneck speed and they're not patient with anybody. And I understand that because sometimes I'm not. We're going crazy. Get going. Hurry up. Run faster. Do you ever feel that? I know it's at work, the little job I'm in. We have to make parts per second. How many seconds did it take you to make a part? Seconds. You're always on the gun, you know. Oh, I hiccuped. There goes two parts. You know, I should have had them done in that time. And, you know, it's faster. You need to go faster. Things are changing round about us. Christmas displays in October. To my knowledge, this is the first time they've had them out in October. Maybe it's been before, but October, and there's Christmas trees and lights and jingle bells playing, and I'm thinking, what is the matter with these people? Well, it's the day we live in, but it's not part of our nature, our old nature, to be patient. God says that in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us, literally, run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience. God says you need patience. Now, God, patience is the character of our God. You don't need to turn there, but in the book of Exodus, you know this book well, Moses was impatient with the people of Israel. He was discouraged, and I don't blame him a bit. Imagine 3 million people. And they were just a mess most of the time. And he says, Lord, let me see your glory. If I can get a glimpse of you, then I'll be patient. Well, God put him in the cleft of the rock. And then in Exodus 34, we read this. The Lord proclaimed, this is God's word. He proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Our God is patient. He's patient, and I'm so glad about that, aren't you? He's patient with me, and I sure need it. You won't need to turn there again. In the book of Joel chapter 2 and verse 13, tear your heart and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. Our God is patient, slow to anger. He's patient with us. He's patient with me that I need to grow spiritually. Why? Because immature people are impatient. Immature people are impatient. They have a tendency to run off at their mouth, say things they should not say. Why is that? Well, because they're immature. They're just not mature. Now, mature people sometimes lose it for sure. But we're talking about immaturity. If you're an impatient person, you're immature spiritually. You could be saved a long time, but you need work. And I need work in this area. So let's look at it a little bit if we can. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. I have a difficult time being patient with people that are patient with me. You ever find that? Being patient with people that are patient with me. And I want people to come up to speed rather quickly. I want them to get wisdom rather quickly. And God says, it took you a long, long time, Bill. And you need to give people that room. Look, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. If you're impatient, if you're hasty of spirit, if you're an impatient person, you're going to exalt folly. You're an immature person. Look at 15, Proverbs chapter 15, while you're there. Look at verse 18. 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Slow to anger. Patience is part of a life. An impatient person, quick to wrath. just any second. But God says a patient person will appease strife. Chapter 16 and verse 32. Chapter 16 and verse 32. Notice, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. A patient person in 16:31 is a man who is mighty, better than the mighty. And he that can rule his spirit, he's not impatient. He doesn't over. He has that self-control, that patience. He's better than he that takes a city. Other passages are plain to us, but head with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2. Are you a patient person? Well, you say, well, I'm not really, but I'm working on it. Then get ready for trials, because the only way that you can learn to be patient is if God brings some trials into your life to show you your need of patience. We're in the book of 1 Peter. Notice chapter 2, and we'll pick it right up in verse 19, 1 Peter 2:19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So it's no big deal if you're wrong and someone rebukes you for it, and you stand there and you don't say anything. You deserved it. That's what you get. You did something wrong, and now someone is chastising you about it, and you take it patiently. Well, you're supposed to. You were wrong. But when you're not wrong, and someone says something, and you do it, and you take it patiently, that's acceptable with God. You know, but that's not what society is. Right? We've got to stand up for our rights. Well, God says the right you have is to remain silent. Take it patiently. But we always feel as if we have to defend ourselves. And I know what that's like, because I joined the crowd, you know. But when we are patient with someone, now that doesn't mean you don't have to say something. But later on, you can. But at the moment, take it patiently. Be an example. Be a testimony. Don't render evil for evil, Romans chapter 12. But be kind. Patience. Head with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 4. Patience. Patience with people. I'm so glad our God has patience with people. You know this section very well, but look at verse 4. What was happening? Scoffers are going to come. Are you patient with scoffers? Someone, you tell someone about the Lord and they just kind of jump in your face. They say all kinds of unkind things. Are you patient with them? Notice what Peter says. And saying, these scoffers will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this, Peter says, they're willingly ignorant. And recognize this, that by the word of God, the heavens of old and the earth standing out of the waters and in the waters, by which the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Essentially, Peter says, you have a real short memory. There was such a thing as the Noahic flood. Picking it up in verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the perdition of ungodly men, the judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad about that. Some of those people that I love dearly who are unsaved, there's still a chance. there's still a chance. God is patient. He was patient with me. He's patient with them. Well, how do we develop patience? That's the question. Well, developing patience is through trials. You know, I really want to be good with little children. I really do. I want to be patient around them. Now, we don't have any around our house. We have the Clark children. They're perfect, so it's not a problem at all. But if I want to know how to be patient, hang around children for a while, right? Hang around children for a while. They'll teach you patience. We need to love them just the same. Paul said that he was as a nursing mother. Remember that? What does that mean? That's a patient, loving person. And so to have patience, we have to have trials come in our life. Other than that, we grow very impatient. So let's look at James chapter 1. You know this passage very well. But in James chapter 1, what does God say? Well, God says you just stay home, don't talk to anyone at any time, and you'll become a patient person. No, you won't. You'll end up hating yourself. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. Literally, put it to the account of joy. You can put this in the bank. The people downtown Providence, they don't want us at certain banks, but God said you can put this in my bank. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Imagine that. The testing of your faith. How am I going to get patience? Your faith needs to be tested. So when it comes along, when the testing comes along, instead of being impatient about it, we need to recognize God's doing something here. I don't necessarily like it. I'm not all happy about it all the time. But I can put this in the bank that God is doing something in my life and he's teaching me something. And what he wants to teach me is patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So I need patience. Well, God says, here's a trial. Let's see how you react under that patience. Are you going to walk in the power of the Spirit of God and honor me and trust my word? Or are you going to go back to your old nature, an impatient person? Chapter 5 says something very similar to that in James chapter 5 and verse 7. God tells the nation of Israel, you need to be patient. These were fellow Jews. They were ripping off their laborers. Now, Nancy and I work a couple days a week, and we go in there not because I love the place or the people. They're all right, and the place is all right, but I go there to get money. At the end of the week, if I went in, the boss said, I'm sorry, but we're not giving you any money this week. My patience might go through a trial there. And that's what was happening. The Jews were working for fellow Jews, and they weren't getting paid. And God says, you're going to be judged for that. In verse 2, you rich, you're corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten. But then he says to the people who are being stolen from. Now, there's no reference of them getting the money back. There's nothing in here that says they got it all back. Don't worry about it. What does God say? Verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the earlier and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Isn't that interesting? Pick it up in verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord Jesus for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy who endure. Have ye heard of the patience of Job? Isn't that interesting? See, God is what? The patience of Job. And have you seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies? So we need to have the same patience, the patience really of Job. We need to look for the coming of the Lord. Instead of being impatient people, the whole world is filled with impatient people. God said, if my people need to be patient, rather. The world's full of people that hate one another. God says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The world is out of control. God said, if you have self-control, you'll be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is nothing more than us living out what we claim to be. And when people see that, they see Christ in you, the hope of glory. But if you're just like they are, what do they want? I work with some impatient people. If I'm just like they are all the time, where's my testimony? Where is it? But patience is something that needs to be worked on. It's something that needs to be developed because it's not part of our fallen nature. As in our fallen nature, we tend to be impatient people. We may not exhibit it in front of others, but inside, we can be shaking with impatience. So let's look at patience with people, if we could, please. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is this tremendous section on love, the love chapter. The love chapter. And it's a wonderful chapter, obviously. But I want you to notice that love has some parameters around it. Love has some objects to it that you and I must be a part of. And we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's pick it right up if we could, please, on verse 4. Right, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. Love doesn't boast. I'm the most loving person you know. No, you're not, because you had to tell me. I should see it, you know, but some people are very loving and have to tell everyone how loving they are. And if you don't recognize that, they'll be mad at you. That's a joke, by the way. Let's go on. Love vaunteth not itself, does not boast or brag. Love is not puffed up, not bragging about being loving. Love does not behave itself unseemly, doesn't act ridiculous. It seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked, it thinketh no evil. Not easily provoked. Love is patient. Love is patient. If you really love someone, you'll be patient with them, right? You're supposed to be. You men, you're supposed to be the most patient with your wife. You wives, you're supposed to be the most patient with your husbands. And sometimes they're the ones that we're not patient with, right? But real love, true love, is to be patient with that person. You know they're having a bad day, perhaps, or a bad week. Well, it gets to be a bad month, then they need to do some work here. But you recognize that we need to be patient. We need to be patient. Patient with people. Real love is patient. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's an interesting section in this book of 1 Thessalonians. But look at chapter 5, and we'll pick it right up in verse 14. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. So there needs to be a warning. It could go out for people that are not walking according to God's word. Warn them that are unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. I know Pastor Rob has dealt with this. This faint-hearted has to do with little souls. And there's a question in the mind of most Bible scholars. Is this referencing someone that's mentally challenged, perhaps? And it apparently that it is. I have a brother. He's in his 50s. And though he knows a lot and he's very intelligent in a lot of ways, yet in a lot of ways he's very childlike. And I have to be patient with that. I can't expect him to do and to know what's right all the time. Sometimes he uses that to his own advantage, too. But the faint-hearted here, support the weak. And then he makes this statement, be patient toward all. Patient toward all. Sometimes we're not patient toward our brethren in this local assembly. Sometimes we get upset with people in this local assembly. But we want them to be patient with us. Don't they know I'm having a hard time? Well, don't you know that they might be having a hard time? So we're to be patient toward all. It's interesting. Fruit comes with with and by patience. The Lord Jesus mentions this. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8 for a moment. Luke chapter 8. The Lord Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 8. I want you to notice verse 15 of Luke chapter 8. Dr. Luke is, of course, writing a history book. And he talks about this. How did he learn this? He might have learned it from Peter or James. I'm not exactly sure, but Luke is writing about this historical event of Messiah. And we read in Luke chapter 8, and let's look at verse 15, please. And this is a reference of the sower and the soil, obviously, but pick it up in verse 15. But that on the good ground are they who hear in an honest and good heart, or literally with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. What a great statement that is. Fruit with patience. Is your heart good soil? Then there should be a fruitful life coming out of you with patience. You say, but you don't understand my circumstance. No, but the Lord does. And you may not know my circumstances, but the Lord does. And though there are times, obviously, when you can be agitated about the circumstances around you, yet are you trying to exercise patience? Well, God, that's what God wants from us. It's interesting, this expression of patience. Turn with me. I want you to see this, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The expression of patience comes out in Ephesians chapter 4 in verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation to which you were called. He's just simply saying, listen, you're supposed to live what you profess. Okay, Paul, then how does that all work? He says this way, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Essentially, patience, the exhibition of patience in the life is forbearance, putting up with people. It's interesting because you could respond to them, you could be mean to them. You have a right to do that because of what they've said or done, but you don't do it. Why? Because you're patient. The Lord was patient with you, you should be patient with them. So even though you have the right, that doesn't mean to do it, you're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be patient one with another, Paul tells us. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is interesting. A teacher of the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is called on to be a patient person. Now, why is that? Well, because people get in serious trouble with the Lord and in this world and with the devil. And the teacher, the pastor, the one who is counseling people needs to be a patient person. Look at verse 24 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Isn't that interesting? If you're going to be a teacher of the Word of God, you better be patient. Why? Because some people just don't obey God's Word. That's all. If we're easy, anyone could do it. But God says, you call yourself a servant of the Lord, you call yourself a teacher of the Word of God, then patience has to be part of your life. In meekness, instructing those that oppose Him, literally oppose themselves. They're in opposition to God's Word. They're opposing. If God perhaps will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by Him at His will. The devil is just having a field day. These are Christians. How do we know they're Christians? An unsaved person cannot take themselves out of the captivity of the devil, but a Christian can. Through the Spirit of God, obviously. But we're to be patient. Why? These people are going through struggles, and they need our help. They need our assistance. They need our love. And then notice, please, Romans chapter 12. Just quickly, Romans chapter 12. I need to be patient. You need to be patient. You need to be patient with me, and I need to be patient with you. You need to be kind-hearted one to another. I know I've told you this story. I'm sure that I have, so you can sleep for a couple minutes and I'll wake you up when I'm done. I read many, many years ago it was a book to young pastors. That shows you how long ago it was. I read it when I was a young pastor, and it said, when you go to visit someone in a nursing home, for example, don't look at your watch. Don't look at your watch. You can understand that, can't you? I can't wait to get out of here, boy. You know, you're there to minister to those people. Those people need our ministry. They need our help. What's interesting, I went to visit Doris's mother, and after about 10 minutes, she started looking at her watch. But we're supposed to be patient with one another, really showing interest in what someone else says. Say, well, I've heard that before. And you know, old people tend to repeat themselves, don't they? Old people repeat themselves, don't they? Yeah. And sometimes we're impatient with those people. But we shouldn't be. You know what? You're going to be there. You're going to be one of them, if you're not already. So we need to be patient and loving and kind to people. We need to be patient for people that are angry with us. Why? Because anyone can fly back. You know, I can give you a piece of my mind pretty quick. I can't afford to lose it, obviously, but I can give you a piece of my mind. I could fight you tooth and nail. I could hit you just as hard as you hit me. Well, I think I could anyway. But what's that about? That's not a Christian. That's not love. That's not an example of Jesus Christ. That's just another heathen going at it with someone else. That's all it is. And you see Christians doing that. I've had the extreme displeasure of being in the vicinity of people who call themselves Christians who have gone nuts. Have you ever seen one? A Christian? Go mad? Flying off the handle. Wait a second. It was a car accident. It's not the end of the world. Yeah, but he flew down the street and he drove right into my car. Okay. He's drunk. Okay. He's drunk. It's not the end of the world. But some Christians just aren't patient, are they? They're just not kind, are they? They're just not loving. Now, what are you going to do? Give that guy the gospel later? You just finish calling them names? That's not how it works. And unfortunately, we all run into that. We're in the book of Romans, chapter 12. Let's look at verse 10, please. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing diligently in prayer. Patient in tribulation, that's what James said, right? Tribulation or trials works patience, and that's what God wants from you and I, patience. We live in a world of impatient people, and God said, if you want to represent me, you need to be patient. Let's look at some more passages, if we could, please. On the back of your notes is that on your back? Yes, the back of your notes. Very interesting thought here. Waiting patiently for God to work or God's work. Waiting patiently for God. Are you impatient with God? Of course not. I would never be impatient with God. Well, there are times in our life, sorry to say, that we are impatient with God. We think God should be moving faster than he is. And God says, I'm teaching you something. If you think God should be moving faster than he is, that means you're lacking in patience. So let's look at Romans chapter 2 for a moment, please. Romans chapter 2. How patient are you toward God's work? I want to see things change now. Yeah, but you've been saved how many years? You say that to yourself. Are you where you should be spiritually? You know what the answer is? No. Not one of us. I've been saved for 30 years. So what? No, I have a pair of socks that old. That doesn't mean you're a patient person. It doesn't mean you're a good Christian. All it means is you got older. So we need to recognize that patience takes time. God's spiritual knowledge and spiritual strength takes time. Am I a patient person? Well, in Romans chapter 2, look at verse 3, please. Romans 2, 3. Notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them who are who do such things and does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or you do despise, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thine hardness and impenitent heart," unrepentant heart, "treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath of the righteous, of the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality in life." Isn't that interesting? Those who by what? Patient continuance in well-doing. Patient continuance in well-doing. Are you patient in continuing in well-doing? Well, sometimes we become impatient. Now, all of us have to recognize that. I want it to happen faster. And God says, "I'm working." You just don't see it. Remember Daniel. We saw that in our Sunday school lesson. Daniel prayed. 21 days he's waiting. Daniel apparently became impatient. Why? Because an angel had to come to him and say, "From the first day that you prayed, I was sent, but something was happening that you don't understand, you don't know about." And God had to send angels in there to mix it up so that prayer could be answered. Well, you maybe are impatient about something. God's doing something. You don't understand. The whole thing's working together for good, and yet we become impatient with the Lord. So God wants you and I to be patient. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Paul says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Impatient people do not have peace. They're always impatient about everything. They just don't have peace. In verse 2, "by whom we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who literally was given unto us." So patience is part of God's learning experience for us. Self-control is allowing the Spirit of God to work through the Word of God in my own heart, my own life. Give me self-control over my life, over my passions. But patience is my life over people. Am I patient with people? And I'm not always, and I confess that to you. But patience works experience, and experience works hope. And hope helps us not to be ashamed. Let's turn to another passage, please. We're running right out of time. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We read the Old Testament, and we're reading all about God's Word, and we're reading about the prophets and their work, and how the Lord worked through the prophets, and how he talked about judgment coming, but he was long-suffering with the people. Amos is telling us that, is he not? God said, if you'll repent, if you'll come back, if you'll seek me. God always calling the people back. God, our God, is a patient God. And God tells us these Old Testament books were written just for that reason. Look it up in verse 4. "For whatever things were written in earlier times," before times, Old Testament. "Whatever things were written in earlier times were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Listen, God was patient with Israel. He's going to be patient with you. If God loved Israel, even though they fell in sin, God's going to love you. If God continued to woo Israel back to himself, God's going to do that with you. Patience and comfort of the scriptures. All of us need to recognize that the Old Testament, what a glory as God shows, reveals himself in this Old Testament, who he is and what he wants from us just through the nation of Israel. The Old Testament shows the glory of God. On Monday nights, I've been telling the group that comes out on Monday nights that a New Testament Christian should live in the New Testament. If I want to know how to walk as a New Testament Christian, this is where I need to live. But whatever things were written in earlier time, the scriptures, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The Old Testament is very profitable for you and I as to who God is and what he's like and how he created and how he dealt with the nation of Israel. And so we need to learn patience from looking at that. And then we need to know how to walk as we read from the book of Romans right through to the book of Jude. We're almost out of time. One more passage, if you would, there. Please turn with me to the 27th Psalm. Patience. Do you have patience? Do I have patience? Well, the answer is not always. If you're tapping your foot saying, boy, I can't wait till this guy's done. You need some work, right? I probably do, too. The 27th Psalm. Let's look at the 14th passage in the 27th Psalm. This is a great psalm, is it not? 27th Psalm, look at the 14th passage. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, and I'm going to include in there patiently. Wait patiently, and I say, on the Lord. Wait, God's going to work. God's doing his work. He's behind the scenes doing that which we know not. To bring people to himself, to honor his own name, to glorify his own person. And so we need to wait patiently on the Lord. And Lord willing, if we continue in patience, then God will use that in our life and use it in other people's lives as they see Christ in us, that hope of glory. Next time we're together, Lord willing, we'll go back to the book of Philippians. Let's pray. Father, help us to wait patiently on you. Father, we know that patience is not a pounding of the floor with our foot or a nervous wonder about when it will happen, but rather just simply trusting you, believing you, recognizing that you are behind the scenes and that your power overcomes all and that your goodness and your grace and your mercy can and does work. Help us, Father, to be patient. Help us to be a testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ and our patience with an unregenerated world. Help them to see Christ in us. He loved us. He was patient with us. And he wants us to be patient with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.